This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode N. My colleague and co-host and co-pilot David Livingston of The Space Show, Dr. Space himself, is here. And we're turning to space law. We welcome Laura Montgomery. She is Ground-Based Space Matters, LLC in Maryland. GroundBasedSpaceMatters.com is the website. She also teaches at Catholic University Law School, space law. There is such a growing entertainment, law in space, turning on the Artemis Accords. This is aspirational, about what is to be done when we get to the moon and asteroids and Mars. Laura, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The Artemis Accords, according to the history, put together by NASA and the State Department, many countries coming forward to sign. What is the general mission? How should we understand why this is necessary and what it achieves? Good evening to you, Laura.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to come back to talk with you. So the Artemis Accords are a way of implementing the Outer Space Treaty amongst the partners who are seeking to set up the Lunar Gateway and a base camp on the moon and return humans to the moon. And as you know, there's a lot of different countries involved in this endeavor. And so when you look at the Outer Space Treaty, it's very broadly written and needs to be construed in the context of specific situations. So you see the Artemis Accords addressing a host of issues as to how to implement the Outer Space Treaty.
David, you have a question for Laura.
Yes, I do. I'm very supportive of the Artemis Accords, but it concerns me on two levels. One is without China and Russia being active participants and they're having their own goals and aspirations, they could thwart it. And the other is that our allies believe space is a global commons and the United States and the Artemis signatories do not. And it seems to me that there's going to be a butting of heads over the global commons issue. I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
Well, on the Russia and China question, they did sign the Outer Space Treaty, and since the Artemis Accords so closely track it, you know, they, in many places they repeat the Outer Space Treaty, and it's an implementation document. So I think that to the extent that Russia and China see a different way of implementing it, it need not be inconsistent. It might just be they've chosen something else. So I don't see the partnership is being thwarted by Russia and China not being on board. As for the global commons question, I think that a close reading of Article 1 of the Outer Space Treaty shows that there is not universal consensus on space being a global commons. The Outer Space Treaty is something that lots of people look at and say, oh, look, it says outer space is the province of all mankind, and that must mean a global commons. Well, when you read it closely, and it's that sentence is full of lots of commas, you see that what is actually the province of all mankind is the exploration and use of outer space rather than outer space itself. So that means we can all go to outer space and we shouldn't shoot each other down, you know, or say that you can't, because everyone gets to go and explore and use it.
Section 3. Peaceful purposes. The signatories affirm that cooperative activities under these accords should be exclusively for peaceful purposes in accordance with relevant international law. That sounds wonderful if it was applied to planet Earth, but no, we're applying it to outer space. And at this point, peaceful purposes, is it necessary to define that, Laura? Is that a debatable modification?
Well, it's really a reiteration of what the Outer Space Treaty already says. So it's not a change. I do find, you know, you ask whether it's necessary to define it. Apparently, the drafters of the Accords didn't do that. there's clearly a point of view that says, no, we don't need to define it because we all know what that means. And we will argue later, I have no doubt, about something that will come up. But in the meantime, you know, no aggression seems to be one of the plans there.
Well, let me rush to puzzle. There routinely now are anxiety everywhere about militarizing near Earth orbit. There have been anti-satellite tests by Russia, anti-satellite tests by China, and there may be again. There's reason to believe that both of those programs are advancing. Is that a contradiction of the treaty right now? Has that been an issue as these countries sign?
Well, that is a good question. You can look at it from different ways. Certainly, the Outer Space Treaty does say that we're going to not have weapons of mass destruction or nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction in orbit. And then we're not supposed to have testing of weapons on celestial bodies and no military maneuvers. So you can see a lot of wiggle room in that language, but it is very clear about weapons of mass destruction. So what kind of weapons are acceptable? Are they acceptable for self-defense? All of these are different issues. And we know that people sign on to treaties and sometimes they don't abide by all of the terms. And sometimes they read them differently than we do. So until these issues come to a head publicly, I don't personally know, you know, what the various interpretations and arguments are within the various governments on these questions.
David?
For the private sector that wants to go to the moon and have their own landers and engage in commercial operations separate from whatever government does, are there any exclusions or challenges or problems likely to arise from that private sector commercial lunar activity?
In terms of the Artemis Accords?
The Artemis Accords or even the Outer Space Treaty?
Well, I do think that the Artemis Accords are interesting and on the applicability of the private sector. First of all, we have to remember the Accords themselves apply to government activities. It's how governments are going to operate together. So there's a few things where I would say the Artemis Accords shouldn't be presumed to apply to the private sector. No one should automatically go and copy them and say, hey, let's make this mandatory on the private sector. First, it isn't now, but I'm going to say it shouldn't be. For instance, transparency. The signatories to the Accords have all agreed to be very public with their plans for what they're going to do. But I don't know that that's great for commercial entities because they're going to have proprietary business plans, trade secrets, intellectual property. Someone who discovers a load of platinum group minerals around a crater may not want to publicize it because that would be a disincentive for going and getting it and selling it and making money. So I think that before we apply the accords to the private sector, we should say, do they make sense? And they don't all make sense.
Will there be an arbiter? Will there be a court? Will there be a place to take complaints or contradictions according to the expectation of those who have signed?
The treaty itself does provide for different countries to write each other notes when they don't agree. There is the standing UN Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, which serves as a forum for discussions. But we do not have an international arbiter. The U.S. courts would be as good a place as any, I think, for making decisions about what treaty provisions do or do not apply to countries or to the private sector.
David, we have about a minute.
In terms of expanding to the Artemis Accords, do you see any chance in the near term that China might join in?
I do not. I think that there's still many legal restrictions on the United States doing space activities with the Chinese government. And so that will serve as a deterrent for any discussions of whether they're going to join the accords.
What was wrong with the Outer Space Treaty was that it was a Cold War document, 1967, and it was seen as an advance against the Soviet Union that no longer exists. Now we have another conflict that is not the Cold War, but certainly has similarities to the Cold War. Is the Artemis Accords adequate to this present conflict or not, Laura? We would not have said a year ago that Russia was an enemy. That is now a clear declaration. Did the war in Ukraine challenge the Artemis Accords?
I do not think so. I think that they are separate and independent issues. The Artemis Accords are addressing how these countries are going to operate together on the moon. I do know, I mean, we all saw recently that NASA was a little bit vocal in its disapproval of the Russians politicizing the takeover, using the International Space Station to politicize the takeover of right. portions of Ukraine. And so they're, that's starting to seep into the space station operations, it looks like to me. And I say this as just someone reading the news.
Laura Montgomery at Ground Based Space Matters, groundbasedspacematters.com. She teaches also space law. The fact that there's such a topic is wonderful at Catholic University, Law School, David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.